In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel lesson is our text for our sermon. We read in the Gospel of John. I had mentioned earlier that Mark is the primary gospel we'll read from this year, but John also has many readings throughout this year. So we read in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus wanted to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip told him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Truly, here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, sometimes low expectations are surpassed by lofty results. I don't mean by that you should set your expectations really low, and then anything that happens will be really good. No, what I'm suggesting is that we don't always recognize or appreciate the boundless potential that may be standing right in front of us. And that was the case with Nathanael, also known by Bartholomew, when his friend Philip told him about Jesus. Jesus had just been baptized, had resisted temptation of the devil, had begun his public ministry, and now wanted to travel north into Galilee. That's where his disciples, his first disciples, were from. He had called already Andrew and Simon Peter, and then he had called Philip into his little new band of student followers, and now he was ready to head north. But he wanted to add another disciple, a friend of Philip's, and so he used Philip and his perfect knowledge to do that. Philip was so excited when the Lord called him, "Follow me," and Philip came to realize that Jesus is the promised Messiah, that he couldn't contain himself, and so he ran to his friend Nathanael with the good news that the Messiah they had been waiting for had come. And it was Jesus of Nazareth. Well, those last two words set Philip's expectations rather low, especially when he heard that Jesus was of Nazareth. So at first, Nathanael was not really too impressed about this. We'll see as Jesus turned Nathanael around. As Jesus dealt with this man, and our Savior took the occasion to use his divine knowledge, as he did use his divine attributes, even in his humiliation, in his epiphany, So he used his perfect knowledge and a promise to Nathanael. So this morning we'll summarize Jesus' occasion of dealing with his interaction with Nathanael and his promise to Nathanael under this theme. This is good, but it's going to get even better. Well, see, first of all, that Jesus used his perfect divine knowledge of all things. And then that Jesus promised his disciple that he would see even greater things. The Epiphany season is about Jesus revealing himself as the Messiah. After his baptism, Jesus gathered these disciples, many of whom had been the disciples of John the Baptist. John had pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And now this Lamb of God would take his new disciples and begin his ministry up in Galilee. One of the men he called to discipleship is Nathanael. This apostle, who became an apostle, this disciple is near and dear to my heart. When I was at the seminary in my second year and Nan and I had just gotten married, there was a little tiny church off the beaten path down in Milwaukee. And that year at the seminary, Nan played the organ there and we attended there regularly. And you can guess what the name of this little church was. It's no longer there. The name was Nathanael. But Jesus, at times, used his divine attributes. And this was one of those times. So before he had even met Nathanael, he had seen into his heart. He had used his perfect knowledge as God to know Nathanael's heart. And he recognized and said of Nathanael, "This is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." In other words, Nathanael was a believer in the promise of God. He believed in the Old Testament. He was looking forward to the Messiah coming. He was not a hypocrite, something that only God is able to see into the heart and discern. This is good. God saw into Nathanael's heart and called him to be his disciple. And so when Philip told Nathanael about Jesus of Nazareth, and Nathanael had rather low expectations, they turned into lofty results when Philip said, "Well, come and see." And then he came, and when he heard all of this about Jesus, that Jesus had seen him and known him before even meeting him, this piqued his interest. And he talked to Jesus about that, and he asked Jesus about that. How do you know me? And Jesus said, "Well, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. I saw into your heart. I know that you've been looking for me and waiting for me. And I'm telling you that I am that Messiah. I am the one you've been waiting for. Follow me. Be my disciple." And remember that Jesus' word is the word of God through which the Holy Spirit creates faith. And when Jesus said that, the Spirit worked in Nathanael's heart. And Nathanael bore those lofty results. This is good. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." But Nathanael knew, this is good. I'm seeing my Savior. I'm seeing the one whom I've been waiting for. This is the one that God promised. And he's called me to follow him, to be his disciple, to sit at his feet and to learn and to hear his word. I'm standing before the Messiah that I was waiting for. God surpassed Bartholomew's low expectation of anyone from Nazareth with lofty result. Nazareth was at this time a town, if you could call it that, about the size of our property, in which there lived maybe a couple hundred people, 200 or 300 people. It sure wasn't Jerusalem, and it even wasn't in Judea. It was up in Galilee with all those Gentiles and other foreigners. Nothing good could come from there. But God turned Nathanael's low expectations and surpassed them with lofty results. Not only did Nathanael now see Jesus as the Son of God, as the King of Israel, his Savior, but now Jesus promised him, this is going to get even better. He gave him a promise of seeing even greater things than just seeing the person of the Messiah. Jesus told Bartholomew that if he thought this was good, seeing me as the Messiah, just wait. It's going to get even better. You're going to see greater things. You're going to see heaven open. And you're going to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This was the promise that Jesus made Bartholomew. Let's go back in history of Israel just briefly. Remember when Jacob was running from Esau and he was out in the wilderness at Bethel and he lay down and he put his head on a rock and he had a dream commonly referred to as Jacob's ladder. Jacob saw heaven open and he saw a ladder going between heaven and earth. And the angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. And at the top of the ladder, he said, I see the Lord God. He saw his Lord and his Savior there at the top of the ladder. At the top was the God of Jacob's fathers, Abraham and Isaac. What did it mean? Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Jesus told Nathanael that you're going to see even greater things than your Savior. You're going to see him open heaven. You're going to see him be the thing that enables man to travel from earth to heaven. The thing, the one from whom the angels come down from heaven and escort believers into heaven. You're going to see heaven open. You're going to see me do that work of redemption I came to do. You're going to see even greater things. You're going to see me suffer and die innocently on the cross to redeem the world. And even though you and all the other disciples forsake me and run away from me, I'm going to still love you and you're going to still be my disciples and you're going to see the miracle of my empty grave. You're going to see the miracle of my resurrection that's going to strengthen your faith in me as your Savior. Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see me ascend into heaven. You're going to see the angels descend and speak with you and promise you that I'm coming back, just as you have seen me go into heaven. Jesus told Nathanael, this is good that you see your Savior and believe in him. But it's going to get even better as you and all my other apostles are going to be eyewitnesses of me completing that work that I came to do. As you watch me be your Savior, as you see the price that I will pay to redeem you, and you will see the Father accept that payment and declare that payment done in full as he raises me from the dead. You know, low expectations are surpassed by lofty results. How often don't we have pretty low expectations of God? You know, we worry, we doubt, we wonder if, you know, give us today our daily bread is really going to happen. Our guilty consciences and Satan accuse us, and we maybe have rather low expectations of God forgiving us or taking us into heaven. But after all those things, what does God do? He surpasses them with lofty results. He always forgives our sins. He always gives us our daily bread. He says, even though you have doubted me, and even though you didn't really trust in me like you should, you're still my child. You're still my disciple. I still love you. And I'm going to strengthen your faith by my death on the cross, by my resurrection from the dead, so that you'll know you'll be with me in heaven. And we remember also that just as Jesus called his disciples to follow him, God has called us to follow him. None of those men volunteered to follow Christ. The power of his word moved them to follow Christ. The power of the gospel in word and sacrament has moved us to follow Christ. It keeps us moving, following Christ by the power of that word. You know, this is good. Every week we see Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we see him redeem us on the cross and rise from the dead. It's going to get even better. We're going to see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man when he returns. When he comes back to gather us and all the church to take us to himself in heaven. Now we see him in hope, as we see in Christ the gate of heaven thrown wide open, as Luther said when he discovered that the righteousness of God is the righteousness of Christ. He said it was as if the gates of paradise were thrown wide open. Now we see that in hope. But one day in the full redemption of our bodies, when they join our souls, we will see the angels and we will see our Savior Jesus at the right hand of God in perfect righteousness. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come and see. Amen.